Sin doesn't start in what we do or say. It lies within the very heart of us, as Pastor Henry will pose today, from faith to faith.
And that's where sin comes from, isn't it? From the heart, out of the heart, comes murder, lies, adultery, all manner of sin. Jesus said, it comes from the heart. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Lying unto men is one thing. Lying unto God is another thing. Lying is lying, period. But be careful.
You shall love the Lord with all your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your soul. You shall love the Lord with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Oh Lord, I love
majority living in the United States, we live pretty good in comparison to many other nations that do not have the luxury that we have. God has blessed the church in America with wealth, but a portion of our wealth is to be shared with others in need, and our giving is to be done with sincerity and according to what God has laid on the giver's heart. But people can fall into the trap of sharing goods as you showcased, as there are certain people that are not grounded in the Word of God. And the viewer might think that person is deeply spiritual because of the amount of their sacrifice. When this appears, trouble is sure to come, as Pastor Henry Ganey will explain today, from faith to faith. As we continue our studies in the book of Acts, we'll be looking at chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira fall into Satan's hands and truly miss the heart of giving.
In the book of Acts,
with today's
so
broadcast
we have
from
seen
faith
some
to
pretty
faith,
powerful things
here's Pastor happening. Henry.
We've been going through this for the past few weeks, and it's been awesome. I mean, that day of Pentecost, God poured out His Spirit, and Peter goes forth from that place and preaches a mighty sermon, and 3,000 people get saved that day. And then, we don't know how much later, but a few days later perhaps, Peter was going into the temple with John, and they saw this man there who had been lame, crippled from the womb, never had walked, over 40 years old. And Peter saw that man, and he said, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'll give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabbed him by the hand, the man stood up and walked, and was walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, the power that we see in that early church, and the love that they had for one another. I mean, these people shared everything that they had with each other. I mean, it was a form of communism, not ungodly communism, not atheistic communism, communism by force, which is what has been done in recent years. But this was a communism of love, totally different, where they loved one another so much, they shared everything that they had with one another. And there was no lack in the body of Christ there among the believers because of that. There was power. There was power. There was love. There was joy. There was a spirit in that early church that they were just going all out for Jesus Christ. I mean, they were, to use a modern word, they were turned on for Jesus, weren't they? I mean, Jesus was their life. They lived, breathed, ate, and talked Jesus Christ. And it was the heart of their existence, the heart of their existence. And it was an awesome time there in that early church. And it tells us toward the end of chapter 4 that Barnabas, that he was a man, the son of consolation was his name. And we don't know how much land he owned, but he owned some land, and he sold that land, and he brought that money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. And apparently it was a pretty good sum, and a lot of people saw that and were really impressed with Barnabas. But the thing about it was, it wasn't the money that Barnabas gave, but it was Barnabas' heart that people loved and were impressed with. But sometimes people misread those kinds of things, and they see that and they think, oh, the money he gave, okay, we're going to duplicate that and we'll get a lot of praise and glory. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 5, one of the tragic moments in the early church. And yet, as we see this, we'll see there's a lesson here for us. So let's read, first I'll read this first part of this chapter, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privately in on it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He fell down dead. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up, bound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry you out. Then she fell down immediately at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Oh, pretty powerful, powerful lesson here, isn't it? Ananias and Sapphira. You know, we love the fellowship and the joy and the peace and the love and all that we have when we gather together, but sometimes we don't care a whole lot for the discipline of the Lord, do we? You know, when the Lord chastises us, the Lord has taken me to the woodshed several times in my life when I got out of his will, when I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. Fortunately, he hasn't taken me to the grave. But that's what happened here with Ananias and Sapphira. What was the problem here with Ananias and Sapphira? Some pastors teach, they weren't given their tithe. No, that's not the story here. No, it's not the story. The story here is that they wanted the praise of men, and they were lying to get it. It's that they were lying to God. You know, we have to be very, very careful. Sometimes we think, the seven deadly sins, and we don't even mention lying about that. But yet they were lying to God here. So let's go through this verse by verse. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife, so they sold some land. We don't know what they sold it for. Doesn't tell us. Here is what was going on, though. They sold it for a certain price, and then they brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, saying, we sold this land, and here we're giving all the money that we got for this land to the body of Christ here to minister. And so we're giving it all, like Barnabas did. You know, we're giving it all. And so that was what they were saying, but what were they doing? They sold it for much more, and they were keeping back part of it and pretending to give all, but they were not giving all. They were only giving a part. And so the sin here is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Jesus said unto the scribes and the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Who has warned you to flee from the judgment to come? You know, God hates hypocrisy. He will forgive you of your sins, and he will forgive you of all kinds of unrighteousness. But hypocrisy, when you pretend to be something that you're not, and you pretend this sort of thing, wow, look out. Look at what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. So they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, it says in the King James, this was a secret conspiracy among them, you know, that this is what we're going to do. We'll sell the land and we'll pretend we're giving all the money, but we're going to keep this back for ourselves. And then Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So you're lying not unto men, but unto God, he says later. But you're lying to the Holy Spirit. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Now, the essence of the matter is right here. While it remained, was it not your own? You didn't have to do this. This was your land. You didn't have to do it. You could have kept it. You could have said, this is mine. I'm keeping it. And that would have been fine. No problem. It's yours. You bought it. You worked for it. It's yours. Keep it. But the moment you say, I'm giving it all to God, and you pretend, then you have transgressed that ground that God will not tolerate. He said, while it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power? You could have sold it and said, this is my money. I'm keeping it. It's my money. It was still your money. It was under your power. But when you come and you say, I've given it all to the body of Christ here, then you've lied. You've not conceived. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? And that's where sin comes from, isn't it? From the heart, out of the heart, comes murder, lies, adultery, all manner of sin. He says, Jesus said, it comes from the heart. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Lying unto men is one thing. Lying unto God is another thing. Lying is lying, period. But be careful. You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Now this tells me something also. He said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then he said, you've not lied unto men, but unto God. This tells me something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. There are people that don't believe that. There are people that don't believe in the Trinity, that the Trinity is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They all three are God. working in concert together. So you've not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, now hearing these words, fell down and died. Now some people have criticized Peter. They said, oh, Peter was too harsh. I think Peter was probably surprised when Ananias fell down and died. He didn't know what was going to happen. He said to Ananias, you've not lied unto men, but unto God. And so waiting for Ananias' reaction, Ananias fell over dead. That was the reaction. God struck him dead. And Peter was probably surprised. I know he was surprised. He didn't know that was going to happen. So Ananias fell down dead and died, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Great fear came on all them that heard. You bet it did. Wow, this is God's standard of holiness and righteousness. You know, this early church was a pure church. I'm not saying it wasn't made up of sinners just like you and me, but there was something about that early church that, as I said earlier, they were just sold out and going for Jesus Christ in a mighty way, powerful way. And here, hypocrisy enters into the church. And it's been the curse of the church ever since. Hypocrisy. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness has driven more people away from Jesus Christ than any kind of sin. Than any other sin. That is sin itself. But self-righteousness among believers, where they think they are more righteous than you are because they're keeping these rules and that rules and the other, and that self-righteousness drives people away from Jesus. Let's not be self-righteous. Let's be humble. And let's be true to God. And let's not lie to God. Don't ever be in that position of lying to God. You know, he said, you don't have to make oaths, by the way. If you're not going to keep it, don't make an oath. Arch and I were reading in the Psalms this morning, Psalm 15, how it says that a good man swears to his own hurt. And you kind of read that, you go, what does that mean? That means that when you make an oath, you keep it. Even if you swear you're going to do something, you make an oath, and then you find out later, gosh, that's really not going to work out very well for me financially. You know, I made a bad deal here. I want to get out of this. No, you made a deal. You keep it. He said, a man that swears to his own hurt, you do what you said you were going to do. But beyond that, remember, you don't have to make oaths. Don't swear. If you do swear to God, you better do it. That's why I don't make a lot of promises to God. You know, when I mess up, I don't say, oh, God, I'm never going to do that one again. I say, God, help me not to do that again. But I know I'm weak, and I know you're strong, and I lean upon you, Lord. I lean upon you. But we don't make unnecessary oaths. Don't make unnecessary promises because you're weak. You're weak. I promise you, you're weak. That's a promise, but not a necessary one. But you are weak, and I'm weak, and we will come up short. So don't try to pretend you're more than you are. Don't try to con God. Don't try to con others. Just come before Him in His mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So here now, you've not lied unto men, but unto God. Be careful. Ananias, hearing these words, then fell down, and he died. Great fear came upon all those that heard these things. Now the young men arose, it says, and they wound him up, they bound him up. That's what they do in those days. They buried people immediately when they died. And they do that today in the Middle East. They have the burial pretty quickly because they don't cremate. They don't embalm. And they put him in the ground pretty quickly because the body begins to decay. And also among the Jews, a dead body, you're defiled from touching a dead body. So they buried him immediately. So they bound him up, carried him out, and buried him. His wife wasn't even there. Then they took him out and buried him. Now, she comes in 3 hours later. And when she came in, she didn't know what had happened. So she came in before Peter, and Peter questioned her, saying, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea. Yeah, this is what we sold it for. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out. Now, I don't think Peter knew what was going to happen with Ananias. He knew what was going to happen with Sapphira, because he had seen the judgment of God on Ananias. And so here she is standing before him with the same lie. And he said, the men that carried out your husband and just now buried him are now going to go bury you. And she falls over dead. She fell down straightway at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You bet. You bet. That fear would come upon us if God did that sort of thing in our midst, wouldn't it? Somebody falls over dead for lying to the Lord. I've often prayed, God, give us that power of the early church. God, make us a New Testament church. And yet, as I've prayed that prayer and I've read Acts chapter 5, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know if I'm ready for this part of that, where you demand that we be so pure. You demand, you know, this is powerful. This is powerful stuff here that we see in the Scriptures. And this was a church made up of sinners, yes, but a church that was different from us. God has made a lot of allowances in our life, I guess, and because of those allowances, we also lack the power of the early church. As I was studying this, the thought came to me, were Ananias and Sapphira really saved? And most of the Bible commentators that I've read believe they were. that they were saved, that they were part of the body there, but they just really messed up royally, you know, by lying to God. And God judged that sin. They had committed a sin unto death. You know, there's a sin unto death, and that's in scriptures that were written later, you know, not right here in the early part of the book of Acts, where we see such a mighty power and such a mighty work there. And we see that later in the life of the Apostle Paul, too. But the Bible tells us, John, in 1 John 5:16, if any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So when you see somebody sinning a sin that's not unto death, you pray for that person and God will get him out of that. But he goes on to say in John, and this is John speaking, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. Now, what is that sin unto death? Well, here was one of them right here. Has every hypocrite that ever did this sort of thing since then fallen over dead? No. No, God didn't. God hasn't done that, but he did it this time. And he might do it again, so we need to be careful. We need to be careful. So this was a sin unto death. And there are other sins unto death in the scriptures. As we look at other scriptures concerning this, in the book of 1 Corinthians, there's a man who was having sexual relations with his stepmother. His father had married another woman. Apparently his mother was dead or something. And he was having sexual relations with her. And Paul the Apostle said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Sounds to me like Paul said, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. So he could have died. Now, that man actually did repent of that sin, and then they restored him back to the body. So he actually did not die, but I do believe that he would have died had he continued in that sin. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So his flesh would have either been destroyed, or definitely what happened is those fleshly motivations that were in his heart were destroyed. He repented, he came back to the Lord, and he was received back into the fellowship. So, number one, don't be a hypocrite. Number one, don't. Number two, don't lie to God. These are serious things. Don't lie to God. And number three, if you're in sexual sin, get out of it. Get out of it. Repent of it and get out of it, because God says he'll judge it. And then, when you go to the communion table, be serious about it. It's the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Now, not physically, we know these are symbolic, but when you do that, that's a very, very serious thing that you're doing. And take it seriously that he died for our sins. There is a day coming when Jesus comes back, when he will judge sin like this again. You know, we talk about the millennium in very fond tones, and I can't wait for the millennium, by the way. I'm going to receive a brand new body, and all believers in Jesus of the part of the church, we will receive new bodies, and when Christ comes back, we will rule and reign with him. But it says on the earth, you know what it says concerning the inhabitants of the earth in that day? He will rule the nations with what? A rod of iron. It doesn't say, it's going to be fun and games, and everybody's going to do what they want to do and do all the sin like Hollywood today. It doesn't say that. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, with a rod of iron. That means a rod of iron. That means boom. You get out of line and you get smacked. It will be enforced righteousness in that day. It will be wonderful because our hearts yearn for that. I yearn for the day when God cleans things up and this mess that we've got today in this world, this sin-sick world. But it will be enforced righteousness in people. There will be people that won't like that in that day, the scriptures tell us. Some will rebel even in the millennium against Jesus Christ. And I'm confident some, like Ananias and Sapphira, are going to fall over dead. Just the way they did in their hypocrisy, because it will be Jesus right here with us on this earth, and there will be people that will be doing things like this. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Revelation 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We don't take sin seriously enough. We don't take sin seriously enough. I say these things not to condemn you, but judgment must begin in the house of God, the scriptures say. And if we will judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Go before God. Judge. Let God judge you. Go before him. Go before him in prayer. Say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that is unpleasing to you, Lord, deal with it. If there's anything in my life that if I'm holding on to a sin, maybe my heart's even deceived me and I don't realize it's a sin, deal with it, Lord. Get it out of my life. I want to be totally sold out to you, Jesus. I want to totally belong to you, and I don't want anything in my life to be unpleasing to you. You go before him with that attitude, and he'll show you those things that you need to clean up. And ask him to have mercy on you and to forgive you and to help you to live for him. And he'll do it. He'll do it. Verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's Porch. So they were actually meeting on a regular basis there at the temple. And so they would meet in people's homes, but also they would have large gatherings there, and they would go to the temple. Solomon's Porch was a colonnade there at the temple. And so meeting there, now it says, of the rest dared no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. So what happened? This Ananias and this event, when Ananias and Sapphira fell over dead, some people, you know, a lot of people said, whoa, just a minute, you know, we're not quite ready for that. So some backed off a bit, you know, and they didn't join themselves with the disciples and the apostles right there at the temple area when they were meeting. But it does say there were still more believers added. So there was individual witnessing going on and people telling others about Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. So in that early church, there was an excitement about the Lord. There was a purity in that church, and they were just, and people were getting saved by multitudes. And they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Now God did special miracles in those days. The shadow of Peter, and later we'll have with Paul, they brought sweatbands from Paul, and people that received those were healed. Now, there was an ancient superstition that if the shadow of an evil man fell on you, you would be cursed. And so if the shadow of a good man fell on you, you would be blessed. And so it might have been born out of that superstition, but what's happening here? Peter walking down the street, it's a matter of something to help their faith. Now, I don't necessarily think that God ordained it be done this way, but people started thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit is really upon this man Peter. When he walks by down the street and his shadow falls on me, I'm going to be healed. And so what happens? When Peter walks by and his shadow falls on that person, they believe in that instant. The moment that woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she saw Jesus in the crowd, and she got closer to him and closer to him, and she wasn't healed yet, but she reached out and she touched the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. And when she touched it, she was healed. Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, Lord, there's a big crowd here. And he said, someone touched me. He knew that healing had gone out of him. And this woman had touched him. She believed that at that moment, it was a trigger for her faith. When I touch him, it's going to happen. When she touched him, boom, she believed and she was healed. Same thing here. Peter passing by. The shadow of Peter. When Peter's shadow falls on me, I'm going to be healed. I will no longer be crippled. Peter walks by, his shadow falls on me. I'm believing the Lord. I'm not believing Peter, but I'm believing that the Lord is going to do it. The power that's been on Peter will now be on me, and the Lord will heal me. Awesome things that God did in those days.
Today from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey has been teaching us in the book of Acts, and today we've been looking at chapter 5, as we've been learning about how God removed the dead orthodoxy of Ananias and Sapphira from the church in order that others would not be crippled by the effects of sin. As we've been learning on today's program, there's still more to learn, which we'll do so on our next program. If this is your first time tuning in, first of all, we want to thank you for taking the time to hear the program today. And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Thomasville, in Georgia.
Lord, with all my heart.
soul with all my heart.